good, Kevin. What's up?
It's another week, man.
It is.
You feeling all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired today.
Tired today.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Today. We record late. Dish.
Although this is earlier.
We've moved up our time.
Yes.
Yeah,
no, I like this earlier time.
Yeah.
It allows me to take a 2.5-hour nap and wake up.
That's a lovely thing to have such a...
Actually, I shouldn't have slept that long. I really plan on sleeping for 30 minutes anyway.
Because you take the nap after your day of writing.
Yes.
For...
Complex.
That's true. Okay. Very good.
You do it every time. Where do you write? Oh, cool. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm glad that we're back. And we have a really incredible guest.
Yes.
Tonight. She's a lot of things, but I do want to say that I was enjoying today, even like doing the little bit of homework, you know what I mean? And of course, like we've, you know, as a city, as a country, have been seeing the garments she makes, the denim work she does, the fine hand stitching, and you know, I think in a lot of ways, like the blending. I mean, I was enjoying today, even on your website, learning about some of your theory about the kind of clothes that you are intentionally trying to make as a you know, unisex brand.
Yeah.
But has been popping many articles in Vogue, has best dress list her garments will make, red carpets, Saturday Night Live.
I know, it's really dope.
It's really dope. The incredible designer, Sheila Rashid, is in the building today.
Hey.
Blow.
Damn, yes. Kevin.
What?
What's I want up? You to use your app.
Oh, I know. Damn, I do
Every
have an app.
Time.
I have, yeah, but
why did you download the app?
I don't know. Also, my dad's calling me now. But
oh, hey, Dad.
I know. Sheila, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
thank you for having me.
We're excited to get into it, but before we start anything, we do have some snacks for you in the corner store.
Okay.
All right. And, feel free to do with the snacks as you wish. Just to, we are enjoying some things in the corner store. But, of course, it wouldn't be a proper corner store outing unless you had a Fanta orange soda.
Oh, thank you.
So that's also for you. I don't know if you delight in such things.
That.
But that's
Let me put that in my little cup here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, a little mix. Oh, okay. These are delicious. Some jalapeno-flavored potato chips from Vintners.
I do like Vintners.
Okay. Who doesn't?
I feel like you can't not.
Okay. And then also, we'll see how you feel about these. I think these are delicious. The Mambas.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
24 foot shoes.
I already
grew up on them.
Oh, you did? Yeah, okay, good.
I eat too many of those. My stomach hurts, though.
Yeah, also,
yeah.
I feel like your teeth might hurt. But,
I'm having fun with that.
Yeah, and feel you could, open them up, eat them, whatever you want to do, you know what I mean? But they're yours to enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Also,
thanks
if you
want to
crinkle the paper in the microphone, we don't mind. Yeah, we like some sound effects. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If after you sip the orange soda, you could give us a...
Oh, yes.
Oh,
okay.
That's a good sound effect.
I love the way that sounds.
You're right, though.
That's great.
So where did you grow up? You mentioned you ate Mambas when you grew up. Where were you from?
Yeah, I grew up South Side, Chicago, more like South Shore. That's pretty much where I was at, 72nd and Oldsby, to be exact.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That house was there for a while when we had it, so.
And who was in the house with you? Like, who'd you come up with?
My mama, my nana, my little sisters. That's pretty much it.
Mm.
I had three little sisters, so.
Oh, wow.
Are you the oldest?
Yeah, I am.
Mm.
I am.
So you were, what was that like coming? You also probably helped to raise him, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. The second youngest, well, second oldest is 2 years younger than me. And so we really grew up together. But then it's the other two younger ones who's still in grammar school and high school.
So there's the big gap there.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a house full of women.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So how was that?
It's good. I mean,
on International Women's
Day.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Salutes.
Yeah. I felt like I may have been brought up right. So I don't really have no issues with that.
Yeah. What do they, your ma and your nana, what do they do?
My nana, she was a nurse. She went to the nurse. She was nursing for people in Desert Storm. So she was doing a lot of things. But my mom, she does hair. She has her own salon here, Chicago. She's been doing hair since she was a teenager. So, maybe that's where I got my creative side from.
Sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
Like you came up in the salon.
Right.
Which is an extremely creative space.
Yeah.
So as a kid, where you spend like after school weekends there or something like that?
Yeah, it was every now and then I was at the salon for sure, like all day. So, yeah.
Did she have her... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Did she have her own salon or did she work?
When I was growing up, she had... we had our own salon for a little minute, and then as a family, we had a family salon, and then that wound up not happening. Wound up basically closing. Then she went on to... We moved around so many times. It's like a blur, really, because I've been to like maybe 8 to 10 different grammar schools. Mm. So, she moved around. That's just how it was. She moved around. She'd been to many salons, and now she has her own. So,
this in South Shore.
Nope, actually, it's downtown, like west, a little bit west. So it's like 2043 West Grand.
Okay, plug your mom. Yes,
you know, that's my mom.
Yeah, that's dope. Okay, that's dope. Hair.
She's the only one that's done my locks. I started my locks.
They look lovely. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Salutes to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
And people could go see her, right? People could go get their own work done.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really dope. What's the name? What's the name of her spot? Just as we're
Daria's
talking.
Natural Hair Salon.
Dope.
That's it.
Cool. And so coming up in the salon, I guess, I mean, is that one of your first introductions into a constant creative space, or like how did you start to, you know, feel like,
it started in high school. I was hand painting on t-shirts. I kind of just did I was just doing my own thing. That's kind of always where it just happened. I wanted to hand paint on t-shirts, and I was inspired by like Bape and ice cream and stuff like that. So I would just like draw little characters on t-shirts. It just went into that. I never stopped doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And went on to making stuff from scratch.
How did you find out about Bape and, you know, those kind of brands?
Yeah. Probably just the music, like just the music that I was into, like as far as like NERD, and I just knowing, being around it, listening to that type of music, seeing what they're wearing. I guess it all has to do with just hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And who put you on in your
yeah, you're
in
the
your
oldest.
Day. Yeah, right.
Right.
So was it your mom or was it like folks at school or?
I don't even remember. It could have been, I'm pretty sure it's just probably at school, being at school, being around. Being around just a bunch of different people, because I always trying to put you on to something. Mm. I don't remember who. I just knew that I was into just different, like, I don't know, like... different music and different. I was just into the hip hop culture in general, and I just kind of knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of stuck to that.
And where'd you go to high school?
I went to Kenwood Academy.
Yeah,
High Park.
Yeah, that's. I think that's historically been like hip hop high, really.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, definitely.
A very rich tradition of creative folk, and particularly like, you know, I mean, even in the day, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s, like that's where I think hip hop really lived in a lot of ways in the city.
Definitely. I agree.
Yeah.
Were you known as like the girl who made clothes?
Well, towards the end. So I started doing it my junior year in high school, and then senior year is probably when I got really known to do that. I was hand painting on t-shirts. I was also like cutting out hoodies, the back of hoodies, and like plastering different paint and stuff on them, and just doing like different things, throwing bleach on them. So yeah, I became known as that person in like my senior year. People wanted it. People kept wanting, like, all the girls wanted to buy the hoodies with the backs cut out, and so just like stuff like that. I was just,
that's dope.
Yeah, it just happened that way. Then I went to Columbia College. And
did you drop out?
I did.
I feel like that's another topic of conversation that always comes up.
Literally, mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody. Which is a trope, certainly. In that moment where you started to sell your wear, is that when you started to sell it or you started to give away in high school?
Yeah, no, I was definitely selling it.
Mm-hmm. Hand to hand?
You made it for your homies to wear first, or?
Right, like maybe like the t-shirts was like, when I was hand painting on t-shirts, definitely giving them to my friends. I remember it was another guy in high school that was doing the same thing, like hand painting on t-shirts, and it just became like a thing.
But yours was better.
Say it again.
But yours was better.
Oh, you know, I was just, we had our own thing.
All right. Little competition.
Diplomatic.
Right. Y'all have a little contest.
I assume he's not in the pages of Vogue, but okay.
Right,
yeah, right.
Yeah. Listen, there is a drilling going on right now. I do hear
maybe
the drilling.
Because they're turning into condos.
Yeah, I know. Cashier, is the drilling a problem? Or are we okay? We're good. Okay. So I, because that is interesting, because you were making a garment, right? And then you began to also turn it into a hustle.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I was really, inspired by my friend in high school to keep doing it. Because we started a clothing brand
in high school.
And like towards the end, like senior year, we started a clothing brand. It was called Nouveau Riche. And it means like new rich, new mm-hmm. money.
Yeah. I like rich. That as a brand. That's a good, yeah. So, especially for high school, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's like innovative when you're 18. You
right.
know? Yeah.
Exactly. So it was like, that's we started doing that. And that was after I was hand painting on t-shirts. Like he actually came to me and was like, he already kind of had it going, and then I kind of came in, and we just made it a together thing. We started.
Oh, like the other guy who was painting t-shirts.
Right. Well, because it was actually another guy.
Another guy.
It was like 3-4 people that was like.
Do you want to shout out the guy you started it with, or are you?
Yeah, Marcus Ivory.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the guy that we started the brand in high school. Now he's living in New York as a stylist, and he's doing good. He's styling a few people, like Angie Martinez, and I think he's helped style Cardi B recently. So he's doing his thing,
I would say.
Yeah.
So what year did you graduate high school?
06.
06. And who, because I, you know, there are so many creative folks that do come from Kenwood.
Yeah.
Are there other, like, who were the rappers around Chicago that you were, you know, rocking with, or even like, were you giving gear to folks at that time, or how
right.
what was your interaction in that space?
You know, I felt like I was really kind of out of the loop, like, as far as local rappers at that time. And like, I can't even remember in high school the low, like anybody that I knew that was,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I became more in crowd after college, and every like even like during college and after college, I don't really know a lot of people, but I do know that Nolis, a photographer in Chicago,
super talented,
we was in like the same class, like in Kenwood,
so
that was cool,
yeah.
Even though he graduated like a year before me, or 2 years or something like that, but. So that's the only people I really remember, like, no, because we was in the same class.
Yeah. So, and you decided to stick around Chicago, go to Columbia College for, right. What were you going to go for?
Yeah, so I went to Columbia College for, like, a semester.
Oh, that's short.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like most people.
Really? I thought maybe it was like a year.
Maybe.
A semester or two,
you
I
know
guess.
What?
Yeah.
It was, like, on and off. I was, like, I feel like I was going to Columbia for, like, a year and a half, like for one semester. Like I didn't make it past like I made it past one semester. I can't even remember, something like that. And then I stopped going due to financial reasons.
Yeah.
And that's really the
I feel like that's a lot, and also it's kind of whack maybe. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't go there.
If I kept going, I probably would have so much more debt now.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't have that.
And often
I'm not
in,
that much debt.
Yeah, and often in creative fields, you don't necessarily need to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, let's talk about what your education was, right? So you get out of school, but then what do you start to do?
Right. So when I went to Columbia, I learned the basics of sewing and garment construction and the history of fashion. And so those are like, I feel like the first classes I started taking were the ones that I kind of needed to keep going, like after that.
Like the gen ed kind of, or like the 101s.
Yep, it was the 101s, and I learned a lot from that. And I basically took from that, and I want to say after college, I wound up moving to New York for a year and a half. And while I was out there, I just wanted to be there, just because I knew that's where, like, that's the fashion capital. I just wanted to be there. So that's what I did. I mean, I had my first fashion show here. Before I went to New York, I had my first fashion show, like, September 2010. And it was my first solo fashion show. It was really packed. It was in Pilsen. And it was really cragging, and so.
And this was under your name at that point. It wasn't the Nouveau Riche,
right? Me and we stopped.
Right.
He went and we went our separate ways.
Right.
And I left out a good part of that story: the fact that me and Marcus fell out. We cool now, but we fell out, and he was the reason why I wanted to be a fashion designer.
He so was.
Yeah, because he basically said something that was. He basically said that I wasn't being creative in something that we was working on, like something we was collaborative. He wanted me to work on something, and I showed him something that was partially done, to be specific, and then he said, oh, this is not creative. So we kind of fell out after that, and then I was like, you know, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep being a fashion artist. And I never really told anybody the specifics of that story because I didn't want to put him out there, like, negatively, but it's the truth. Like, it's really what kind of motivated me to keep going. And now we're good now, but that was really the point. Like,
did you feel like he was right at that time? I mean, looking back, or do you feel like he was on some BS?
Maybe he could not. The thing is, it was like what I presented to him was a T-shirt that was penciled out what was going to be painted in. So it wasn't painted in yet. And is it okay?
Yeah,
I
think
I know. There's again, there is some drilling in the background, so
okay,
I appreciate you. But
we're
I think
our spaceship away.
Yeah, exactly. They're coming for it as we speak. But super producer DJ Cashier assures us, we're golden.
All right,
we just
cool.
got the the A okay.
That was really,
but I feel like negative criticism pushes people, right? Like, oh, you can't do this. I'm gonna do it better.
Yeah,
more, you know,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's really what it was, and we was like so much younger back then. So I mean, it was definitely, but it motivated me.
Yeah, no, and that's. I mean, look, I always say you got to, you know, play your haters like Space Invaders.
Mm. Okay, right. I've never heard you say that, but
okay,
I fuck with it though.
Yeah, in my head.
Okay,
I always say
it. Say out loud more.
Okay, I will.
Yeah,
indeed. So your first show, what materials were you using?
Yeah, so I started out doing a lot of dresses, geometric inspired dresses. So a lot of seam details, hourglass figures, like kind of hard shoulders, like kind of woman empowerment type things.
That's appropriate for this month.
Right, exactly.
And always.
Right, and always. Sorry, mm-hmm. my bad.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to say that. But that who was your consumer? Like, who were you trying to make clothing for then? And because I do want to talk about the evolution of that, because I think that's, from what I could tell, is very interesting and part of the narrative. But at that point, 2010, your first solo show, who was your consumer?
My consumer was anybody who wanted something, I felt like. I didn't really
serve
have...
masses.
I don't think I really understood... at the time, how important knowing your audience, like knowing who you want to, you know, sell to. So I was just making stuff, and I just made whatever, and it was a collection, and whoever wanted. And that's just, everything's happened word of mouth that way, though. Like, that's how I was able to get clients, just because putting my work out there, and people was just like, okay, well, they requested, you know, it's something to be made custom. And that's what it was. I just started making custom work for people, and it just kept going like that.
Mm. But you bounced after that show, right? You went to New York.
Yeah, what was that like for you?
It was cool because I went to New York. After that show, I went to New York for Fashion Week in February. And, so, February 2011. And that was cool. I mean, it was a really dope experience. I was able to...
I mean, first Fashion Week, that's...
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You went to show, or you went to go see it?
I went to show. Like, I had a whole new collection from a different one that I had in 2010.
Okay.
And it was like 2011, February is when I went to New York Fashion Week.
Okay.
Went a whole new collection. And those are still the same, like, that's when I think introduced more drop crotch pants. That's what that's and that's where it really kind of started. I started without doing drop crotch pants. That was my thing. It was kind of like my staple at that time. And then
and materially, you were working with denim at that point, or you were working just in
I wasn't even necessarily working with denim. It was like all kind of upholstery weight fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
So different out different prints, like just all kind of, I don't know, this just different stuff.
But you began to evolve a little bit in what you were able to do, or at least what you were beginning to show.
Yeah.
And how did that first experience at New York Fashion Week, which is what so many designers are trying to get to, so relatively early you had this kind of modicum of success. What was that experience like there?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I know it wasn't like Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week, but it was still a good experience because it was just to know how it is if you wanted to go that route. You can, like, because what I did was I did a fashion show with, like, some other, like, other designers. Like, some people put on a show, and then they invite designers to come and show their brand. And that's what happened. I was there with, like, other designers. So you get to see other people's work and just have and just show in front of the audience that they basically promoted. And that's just how it was. But
and did you, from that experience, were you getting, I mean, I'm sure that's also like this arena where you're networking, where you're
right.
You know, mm-hmm. getting other interests
exactly.
to do future things. That's also kind of a beautiful way to enter New York, I imagine,
right.
too, kind of set you up for the next
yeah.
bunch of stuff.
Exactly. So, like, that's, it was just that, because that was my whole reason for being in New York. I felt like it was to network, because I met so many people when I was there. And like, I met Beyonce stylists. It was so many different people that I was just able to meet while I was in just being in New York, because everyone was there. So it was just, I made so many different connections, and now I'm able to, like, kind of utilize those connections. Because
even so many years later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, like,
which is really actually important, right? So, I mean, it sounds like you've done a good job about keeping in touch with people,
mm-hmm.
also gathering contacts, you
definitely.
Know, which I think, like, when, especially when you're starting out, I mean, those relationships, I mean, it really it is about a network,
mm-hmm.
and those contacts that come to you are gold because they could lead to future things.
Yeah.
How did you even get hip to that wisdom then? I mean, how did you know to preserve and, you know, protect those things?
All I know, I knew that I was going to have, like, eventually, I knew I was going to make a product, have a product that was ready for somebody. I didn't know who was going to, like, who, what stylist I was going to send it to. Because that's just how I work. Like, I make things and then just put it out into the universe and see what happens. See how it comes back around to me. So, it just, everything just happens, like, word of mouth. Like, it just comes to me, like, to be honest. Like,
that's the best kind of marketing, though. Word of mouth.
Yeah.
Better than, you know, that
yeah.
shit will never die. Yeah.
Well, that's how you know it's real, too, right?
Right, like somebody co-signs you,
yeah.
you know, verbal co-sign.
Yeah, and just, like, out of the blue, be like, oh, you know who I fuck with?
Yeah, right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, were you not getting to a place you wanted to in Chicago? You know, that's why you left and went to New York, or?
Yeah, I think it was being young, being younger, and I just wanted to get out there and experience it right away.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be in New York. Like, I just knew that, I just knew I felt like I had to leave Chicago in order to see what the fashion capital, quote unquote, is all about. You know what I mean? So I just had to be in the environment, just
right,
to
right.
get in it.
Yeah,
see
you need that
going.
When you're younger, you know?
Yeah, you know? I think
figure out what you want.
Right.
Where'd you stay in New York?
I was in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Crown Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Crown Heights.
Yeah.
Right. Food there is bomb.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's my favorite little area.
Mm-hmm. You saw a lot of my people, a lot of the
Oh yeah.
Oh, I was
of the Jewish persuasion.
Yo,
oh, yeah,
yes.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was everywhere.
Yeah.
Wait, one
very
time
deep.
I was there and they had, it was like harvest. What's the harvest?
Purim, man.
No. It was like even more specific where they have like the tents in their yards.
Yeah.
And they said, that's what Purim is?
Yeah, Purim. Mm.
And all of them spoke French and literally the police
Sukkot.
Blocked it.
It's the part they're dancing in the streets and
yeah,
shit.
The
yeah,
the police blocked it off and they were just like thousands of Jewish people in the streets. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, crazy. Sukkot is a
nice.
Banging holiday.
But they have like these small yards and they have the big tents in there with the.
Look, you got to do with what you have. You
I know
what I mean?
It was really dope.
Yeah.
That is dope.
Yeah. So you were there for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
A year and a half, and I came back.
Yeah. What?
Due to financial reasons.
Okay. Because New York is expensive. Right. AF.
Yeah,
okay.
That was another. Yeah. I worked at Zara. Like I went to New York without a job. I had like two suitcases, and I got a job like within the first week and a half of being there. Like just going into a retail store and just applying, and I got a job, and then that was it. I just kept it moving. Like I worked at Zara, then I worked at All Saints,
mm-hmm.
and All Saints was my last job before I moved back to Chicago.
Yeah. And were you also at that point still kind of selling, pushing garments too?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
While I was there, I was still making clothes for people. I was actually looking on Craigslist. I was getting jobs off Craigslist.
Like to make clothes?
Yeah, like I remember getting an order for a clown. Like not, he was actually like his job is to be a clown, and like I had to make some like super fun oversized joints, like pants for him or something like that. So it was like little
That's
fun things.
Dope.
Like, yeah, it was just like little things. I was just taking things because. Just for experience, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
and to like keep up with your, you know, craft or
whatever, yeah. That's how you learn it, right?
But yeah,
you always talk about that too, right?
It's like doing a bunch of stuff within your field. Yeah.
Yeah, is a way to learn, and that's really like your education. And
right.
I think like that's, I mean, you know, like how did you learn how to write journalism?
You
do it by doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Which is significant. So you all right? So you're hustling in New York. You come back to Chicago. This is 2012.
Yes.
Uh huh.
2012. I came back to Chicago, and what did I do? I want to say I worked at Cole Haan. I started working at Cole Haan for 3 years.
And as you're working in retail,
right?
Are you also are you also paying attention to what is happening in that industry? Are you also like, I don't know, like I feel it because it's part of what you're doing. It's not necessarily the thing itself, but
right.
are you like looking at garments? Are you looking at how people are ordering? Like what is also your mind in those spaces
right.
from Zara to All Saints to Cole Haan? Like what's happening to the creative brain even in those spaces? Or are you like so deadened by the whackness that is retail? Or what happens?
I think it was, my main thing when I'm in, cause everything I've, all the jobs I've done was retail. And I feel like I feel like I can really, if I wanted to go back to retail, I would like kill it. But I totally was paying attention to everything. I was number one at Cole Haan, to be honest, like this, as in selling, like selling is just like the only thing I really think about when I'm in any type of retail job that has commission, of course, but
right.
Oh, Cole Haan is, but like All Saints wouldn't, right?
Say it again.
Zara and All Saints wouldn't have commission,
right?
Yeah.
All Saints kind is their system is kind of different.
Oh, okay,
it's kind of different.
They're kind of pricey, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
they're different, but yeah, I definitely paid attention to all of those details.
And you moved back to the crib, or you initially, or what?
Yeah, I moved back. Moved back to Chicago, moved into the studio, and was just working at Cole Haan, but as well as making stuff for people. So that was always the only thing I was doing. I was always either at work or at home working.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
And in your... Because, you know, we talk a lot about creative spaces and some of the spaces that artists will set up for themselves.
Yeah.
Then to now, like, what is your creative space, you know, kind of look like? And we'll talk about how you started a bubble and everything like
right.
that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, what is your, like, actual... Like, is it a room? Mm-hmm. Where do you work?
See, now I work... I work at home, and it's like... it's a loft space. So it's really nice. It's really nice vibes. It's super huge. I get to like basically have it's big enough to I can have a 10-foot backdrop in there, 10-foot wide. It's just like a really good space now. I have like it's kind of set up where it could be a showroom. People come by and really like the vibes of the loft. So
you say a 10-foot backdrop in order to take pictures of the what you're making too.
I do every I basically take I'll do all the product shots. I take photos of clients who come by to pick up their clothes.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay, so it's like a one woman army.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm
you
basically
do it all.
Doing everything. Yeah.
You got a manager and like a team, or you just do it yourself?
I have my friend. She helps white out. Like when I take the photos of the product shots, she just helps like white out everything in the back and make it look clean. So she's like the Adobe. Like,
Right. Yeah. Edits the.
Like yeah. far as like. You know, if I need like a logo or something, like I can ask her.
Oh, and designer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, yes. do you mind, because of the drill, do you mind getting closer to the mic? Is that okay? Yep. Sorry. And just maybe try to stay on it.
No problem.
We are in a tough situation here in WGN. They really are trying to kick us out, I feel like, is what we're getting the message.
I know.
You know what I mean? I know. I'm a little pressed myself. Are you doing okay?
I'm all right.
All right. Yeah. We're gonna try to soldier through.
Yeah.
So just stay close to the mic, and then hopefully that, you know,
will Got you.
Drown out the drill
all
and
right.
the fuckery. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
I feel like this is like the patriarchy. You know what I mean? Like trying to get in.
Listen, the white man always brings you down.
You know what I mean?
Except this white man.
Oh, well. You know, one day at a time. So I'm interested in then.
Did we ask her like, you know, were you noticing that even like the music? You know, we asked you, were you making stuff for rappers and musicians in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Were you doing that when you came back, or were you noticing what was happening?
So the first. Yeah, I wound up working with like Mick Jenkins. He's an artist from here. He wound up buying something. Joey Purbs,
like mad early.
Yeah, like this different local artists from here. Like who was really messing with me, so that was cool. And then Zendaya wore my overalls for like a video shoot, and that was.
And how did that happen?
Yeah, I was gonna say like that was like thanks to the stylist. Like the stylist is his name is Law Roach, and he's from Chicago, and he's dope. Like he's the reason why Zendaya was able to wear my because he still styles her today, so he's dope.
So that's big, and that's also like a way that all of this happens, right? Again, it's like networking and kind of stylists being in the know of whose garments and you know. Local designers or folks who are, you know, putting in that work to put it on the artist too.
Exactly.
Like,
Chance the Rapper wore my overalls, and the reason that happened was because of Whitney Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
She's from
Shout out Whitney.
Yeah, right? Salutes. Yeah. We're gonna get her on. Yeah.
She put that together. Even though I spoke with Chance before and I was supposed to been get some overalls soon, but she it just happened to be at the right place at the right time when she wound up really connecting that because she was styling him for the VMAs, and I had to make them overalls in like a day, and it just worked out. He wound up wearing them. Like I wasn't sure if he was gonna do it, but he did it.
Those the beige, the cream ones, the beige ones.
Yeah.
Was that the first pair?
Yeah, it was the first pair that he wore.
Okay, so could we break that down a little? Because that seems like a bit of a. Launching
right, and everyone kind of knew him for like wearing overalls
after
right?
that moment.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So walk us through it a little bit because that seems like a moment that also begins to change a little bit of your own trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So Whitney hollers at you,
right?
And she,
so
yeah.
The overalls. First of all, I started making the overalls. The overalls became famous. Of course, after he really became famous after he wore them, but. They became really popular the first pair I made when I got back, when I moved back to Chicago. That's when I was doing the drop crotch overalls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like someone wanted them, so I made them for the first time. And then when I made them, I was like, oh, wow, these are dope. And so I'm like, I'm going to keep making these. And that's what happened. So I kept making them for people. It just became a thing. Overalls came my stable low-key. And then Whitney, she hits me. She winds up. I don't remember. You text me or something, and then she said that she wanted some, you know, wanted him to wear some overalls, and I was like, okay, I'll just make these. I made them in a day.
Dang, really?
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, I made them just because she was like, yo, I need. We just because the VMAs was a week away, literally.
And she
was
told you what they were for.
Was it the VMAs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She told you what they were for.
She didn't. I can't remember. I think she told. I don't even think she told me it was for the VMAs.
Right. She's just like, yo, I need a garment.
Yeah. She was just like, yeah, we can. If you can just get these out to me, then we can just see. And I was like, okay. And then I think after I made them, maybe it was when she told me like you know, he's going to the VMAs and, you know, he could wear them. But I just didn't get my hopes up high.
Right,
until,
she's bringing a whole rack of potentials.
Exactly. Right. I was like, oh, whatever. So come Sunday, because it was a Sunday, and I'm at a party. And I wind up, we was able to watch it for the first time. You know, Whitney texted me right before it, you know, VMA started. It was like, yo, he's wearing overalls. Yeah. I was like,
that must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd you feel?
It felt really good.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It was like, what?
And in crazy. A day that you made it, and then.
Yeah, right? How gratifying.
Exactly. I made them real quick. It was like. Yeah, because I knew it. Like, they were overdue. Like I said, I spoke with him before. He was like, yeah, I just want some overalls. He's especially has told me that he wanted the overalls. And that was a year before the VMAs happened. Like, a year or two. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But I just remember him wanting them. I just never made them. And then that was just the perfect opportunity to make them. And then it just happened. I was like, all right, I'm going to just make these real quick. And then.
So you're at the party. You see your own garment on TV.
Right.
How'd that feel?
That was cool. It was dope. Like, I was able to, be there with other people who was at this party. And we was just all like, yeah, those are my overalls. And everyone's like, oh, wow, that's dope. You know, it was cool. It was like, I was
just
hype.
Was this 2016?
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
So, all right, so what starts to happen for you and for the brand and for the requests after this?
I mean, I got a lot of inquiries about them. I got a lot of, I didn't put the overalls on my site right away after that, after the VMAs. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was 2-3 weeks afterwards. But after when I posted them on my website, people just was like ordering them. Like, it wasn't like crazy. It wasn't like, oh, I got like 10 orders in a day. It wasn't like that. It was just gradually. It was just like every 2 weeks or something like that, I would get like one or two orders of the overalls. People,
and you make to order, right?
I mean, that's year.
You make to order, right? Like,
right.
You, if somebody can hit you up on your website even now, be like, hey, I want this garment, and you'll make it for their size.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm real good with, all I need is your measurements. If you give me those, then that's fine. If you're like far away, if you're like even another city.
Right.
You just give me measurements and I can make them. And usually I've been making a lot of jeans lately. That's all.
Yeah, you're wearing some.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about? I like the little pockets, the
know,
mini
they're,
knee
they're
pockets
really,
or something.
Really fresh.
I know. I kind of want some.
I know.
So I might.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I was on the site today. I'm like.
Yeah.
Maybe the denim coat. Maybe.
No. No. The jeans are. I saw Kari on. Instagram or Twitter or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. That was a cool moment too, because Kari came by and didn't know he was even gonna come over. He came by with Emma, the also known as the Stitch Guy. Y'all know her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's been on the show.
Yeah, nice. And so he came by with her, like, sporadically, and I was just like, what size you wear? And I was so happy to have those pair already made from the collection. Mm. And he tried them on, and he just was like, I want these right now. And he just bought them. So that was just cool, like, for those little moments that happen. Like, people come by and try the stuff on.
Right. All right, so you, a few weeks after the VMAs, mm-hmm. starting to get these orders.
Yeah.
What's the next thing? Because it does not stop even with Chance at that point, right? There's some more asks, some more requests, some more colors.
Yeah.
Right, because the first one was like the brown, almost
tan.
Like the tan. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he wore them for the VMAs, and then the second pair he wore was for Billboard magazine.
Oh, the cover?
It was for the cover, but I don't think the overalls were on the cover.
Okay, they're in the spread.
Inside.
Yeah. And it was like a couple pages in that magazine where they put the ones of him in the tan overalls in that one, as well as it was a cranberry color that he wore. So those are like, he wore them for that. So,
And even when you're making that color, are you dyeing the denim? What's the process of getting the variety of colors that,
right.
You know,
that's just luck of finding the fabric, like, in that color. Like, mm-hmm. I just know where to find, like, different denim colors and stuff like that, which is, I get it all from California, order, and they resource from everywhere else, like Japan, and
so
that is like the hub where I get all my dinner.
So you're getting shipments to your loft at this point?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I get all my denim shipped here because that's where the best denim is elsewhere.
Right.
And now you do like floral joints too, right?
Yeah.
Like I saw Swopes got like a overall dress.
Yes.
Yeah, that's tight. With the zipper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah.
She came with me with the idea and it just happened. Like she was like, I want something like kind of like a little dress, a denim. She showed me this picture of a denim dress and I just basically merged the overall with the dress. And I was like, oh, we could just, you know, like, do you mind if I had buckles? She was like, nah. And it just worked out. Like, and I think that was cool, too, because I just made that dress, like, a week and a half. And I was real proud of it because I started out doing dresses. And I think I just kind of missed making dresses. So when I did it, I was, like, so happy about it. And it fit so perfectly.
Right. But I guess, androgyny is kind of, you know.
Yeah.
How does like the dress fit in that, or you know, is it
like on your
doesn't
website?
Have to, yeah, you know,
on your website you say it's between like you're trying to occupy the space between tomboy and femme,
right,
which I love, and it speaks to that,
and I think all my friends are like that, like I'm like that, you know, so
yeah, it's 2018,
yeah, like that, right.
Yeah, it's very much now,
you know, and then it was just I usually give the people, you know, what they want. So if they want like a dress, I'm gonna make it. You know what
I'm
saying?
Right. Not gonna say no.
Right. And I know I started out doing dresses anyway.
But even that Swopes joint is in the middle of that though.
In
that spectrum. Yeah, you know, because it is
the way she dresses is, you know, tomboys too, so mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's like that like athleisure like that which is, you know, androgynous and also in between. So why is that spectrum and that consumer important to you?
I think it's important to me because I think it's my personal style. I don't really, it's kind of a merging between those two, like feminine and tomboy. So I think I just think it's easier because it's not really, it's kind of for everybody. That's just what it is. Like I just make clothes for everybody, anybody. And I don't really try to put like a label on it, so it's who I am, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You've been in a lot of spaces on a bunch of best dress lists. You've been in Vogue, right?
Yep. Vogue, Nylon, so many other ones.
Yeah. What is the highlight? Like, what is some of the what are some of the highlights that we you know, for you even, like what are some of the where you're like, oh damn, like this is what's happening?
I mean, like all of the magazine features are really dope that I got. It's quite a few that I've been in. Marie Claire, either way, I think Chance wearing my overalls on SNL was amazing.
Really? What were those like? What color?
Yeah,
were
that
those?
Was the third pair he wore. It was like the red
joints. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like red wool overalls. He wore those for SNL. They performed in them, so I think that was a great highlight. Just recently, Bella Hadid wore my.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah,
that was dope.
What did she wear?
She wore a jacket and jeans.
Okay.
And she wore a coat over the jacket. So.
To where?
Yeah. She was going, I don't know what she was doing. She was going somewhere in a meeting or something. But she posted it, and that was dope. And then the way that happened was another stylist, his name is Fucci.
Wow, shout out stylist.
Yeah, exactly. The plug.
You really give me all the oops. That's
the
awesome.
Ain't it though? Like that's really where it's at. Like those connections help a lot. Like
they're from Chicago?
Fucci is not.
Okay.
I don't know where he is from, but
right, cuz at this point you're kind of international.
True.
Yeah.
You know.
Out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at this point, so you're, I mean, you're not working at Cole Haan anymore, mm-hmm. right? You're not working at Zara. You're not working at All Saints.
Yeah.
It's your brand. It's your making all the time at this point.
Yes.
So day to day, you have to do a lot of things in order to maintain the business.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, you know, a day in the life look like for you now at this point after all of that success about, you know, the springboarding into the, you know, into all of those pages of fashion and people beginning to hit you up.
Yeah.
What is it like?
Oh, every day. It's cool to have like a certain freedom because I feel like I can pretty much do anything, like do whatever I want to do, but I choose to just stay home and work. Like I usually get up and start sewing on somebody's order. That's pretty much all I do. If I'm not working on someone's order, then I'm multitasking, working on a new collection, which is what I'm doing now.
Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely gonna be I'm working on basically some of the same styles but in different fabrics and materials. So as far as like the 8-pocket jeans, it's gonna be a more print, like tartan, which is like a Scottish plaid, and some more sweaters and crew nets, because I started back doing like different t-shirts with printing different things on them. It's just like everything. It's just really streetwear. That's all I've been doing, just continuing to just merge streetwear with high fashion. And that's pretty much every day. That's all I'm doing. I'm just making something for somebody. That's all day, every day. If I'm not doing that, then I'm on the computer. I'm on the computer editing a photo or taking a photo of product or making a pattern, you got to make the pattern first, and then you got to cut it out, and then you got to sew it up. So it's a lot of things that go into making something. It takes me about maybe 5 hours to make a pair of jeans. It's consuming, but it's cool because I just work at my own pace, you know.
Right.
Do you make the patterns digitally or by hand?
Yeah, I make them by hand. I definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I got my little paper patterns all over the place. Well, they're nicely set up.
But I'm not a slob. I just
You know, it's clean.
Yeah.
And
Go ahead.
How often do you drop collections?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my last collection I just put out in September 2017, I had a fashion show for it at the Annex.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool, really dope.
You go by season?
Not exactly. I don't really go by the fashion calendar.
Yeah.
I don't do it like every February and September, I think. That's like a lot of designers do have like many collections they do in a year. But that's come with having a team, so it's just me, and I'm okay with that. And I think I do it like yearly now. I think that's what I'm starting to kind of, like, I did one for September 2017, and I'm probably gonna have another fashion show September 2018. So it was just see, but this is how it goes. Whenever I finish the next collection, it may not even be this year, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have a title yet in mind for the new?
That's a good question. I couldn't even think of a title for my last collection that I put out. I think it was like Made and Delivered. That's what I named it, like Made and Delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I don't know. I don't really.
And where do you seek inspiration? How do you get the ideas for the collection? Where does your head wander? Where do you look? Are you checking out other designers? Are you in magazines? Are you watching? How does a fashion designer, you know, garner inspiration?
Some things kind of happen by accident. Like when I came up with the 8-pocket jeans.
Yeah, does anyone make those?
Right.
So sick.
Yeah, like my girlfriend wound up like, yeah, I want some jeans and I want some pockets on the knee. And I was like, pockets on the knee? I don't want to do that. I'm like, all right, well, I think I can actually do this and this. I can just add this pocket here. Then it just worked out. Like, it just worked out, and it just stuck. Like, everyone wants, well, everyone like them, so. So, yeah, where do I get inspiration from is pretty much everywhere. Like, I'm on social media. I'm always looking to see certain things that stick out on people. I'm always, I do look up certain things, like, I'm always looking up different other, like, other designers, like Fear of God, just, and not necessarily because I love their brand, just because they have, like, an aesthetic that works for them, and I just like to learn from that, like, how to be better, you know, how to get better as a brand, or just, like, market. And I think that's pretty much, because, yeah, I don't have to necessarily follow the fashion calendar. So I just do it. I just do everything like kind of like on my own, like how I just. But I just take it day by day, really.
Right. I feel like collections are kind of like a series. When a visual artist is making a new collection of work, I feel like it's often done in the mood.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, like Picasso had his blue period. You know what I mean, or whatever.
Right.
So, what is the mood then that you're in? Like, why all the patterns? You know, from, you know, the floral to the plaid to the, you know, because this is like now spanning different parts of the globe a little bit. Like, what is the mood that this collection is setting? I guess.
Yeah, I think it's definitely. I think it's definitely about grabbing your attention. I think that's really what I think about when I make something is really just something that's gonna get a lot of likes. Like, that's pretty much kind of how I design stuff. Like I know people love florals, and so every time I post something floral, people love it, and so I just kind of stick with things that I know people like, but I also kind of, you know, give it something unique, something different.
I mean, I think what's great about you is, like, it's the details. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not over the top or in your face. You mm-hmm. know, it's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to really check for when, you know, you're looking at one of your pieces.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It's exactly what it is, because it's like simple. Like, I make simple things, I feel like, but it is the details.
Yeah, and it's like that comes in, like, you know, crafting things by hand, you know, and not mass producing shit.
Well made, well made garments.
Like, you know what you're paying for, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah, I really want you to take pictures at the Garfield Park Conservatory. I feel like, I don't know if you've ever done
Aren't
that.
Aren't you not allowed to do that? You feel like have a photo permit now or something?
It's Sheila Rashid. I feel like, you know.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. This is just what I heard.
Yeah,
sorry. If I'm wrong,
please.
I feel like I see all the people taking photos in there, but I think because all the people took photos in there, like, you can't take, right?
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But.
I know, like, Alaylee May, she's this cool.
Oh, she's dope.
Yeah.
She got a dope style.
Yeah. It's funny because she started out.
Is she from Chicago?
She's not from Chicago, but she was here for a minute, like, before she got on.
Big, yeah.
She was here, and she was, like, wearing my stuff.
Oh,
was, like,
dope.
The early dresses that I did in 2010, she was like, wearing those stuff. Like,
nice.
It was pretty funny, but she's dope. Like, I was going to, like, my point is, like, I like she motivates me now, like.
She got crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
But she get all this stuff, you know.
All those backdrops she be on.
Yeah.
Like, she ain't no just simple backdrops. Like, she's. Damn, she's killing it.
Are there people that you want to dress that you have aspirations to? Like, I'm this person's gonna wear my fit.
Yeah, like. It's anybody. Like I say, I didn't know Bella Hadid would be wearing my clothes. Like, that was just dope. But it's just like. Like I said, like I give it off to the stylists, and they have many clients. So whoever they put it in, that's dope. But who I really think about is, I definitely like people that haven't worn my stuff, like Lupita.
Okay,
she's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, of course. Of course, I'm gonna say Rihanna. I don't know. There's so many people. There's anybody. I think anybody can can wear his stuff.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, I think that's
universal.
Iman Shumpert is in my DMs right now. Hey. If you want something. But,
Chicago, yeah, Chicago rocks with you.
Yeah.
You know, and the world, always.
You know what I'm saying?
So when you're, I mean, outside of the realm of fashion, I guess, what are some of the other spaces you are inspired by? What are you, you know, what are you listening to that's propelling you? I mean, even when you're making garments, I mean, do you have music on? Are you watching a television show? What's going on?
Yeah, like I said, every day I'm at home just about. So I'm always either listening to music or watching Netflix.
Any Netflix show?
Yeah.
Currently?
Right now I'm watching Happen Later. I didn't watch just about all the good ones on Netflix. But right now I'm into The Chi that's on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really
good. And Lena's worn, she's worn your garments.
Oh, she did? That's dope.
Yeah, Lena Waithe.
Which is great.
She really supports.
She's a real one.
And that's,
Like even Dez's shirt was in The Chi, right? Like the Five shirt?
Yeah. Yep. Like she's really on it right now. So she's Lena Waithe, DeRay, McKesson.
Oh.
They're my clients as well and friends. So, but what was the question?
So what you as you're making stuff, like what are you watching? What are you listening to? You're watching The Chi. What else? Yeah, what else you watching? What are you listening to?
You're watching The Chi. Watching Homeland. I like Homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's my shit. And then music. I'm always listening to Lil Wayne. Dedication 6.
Yo.
Right.
So. Yo.
Reloaded. Yeah.
That's, yo.
That's 5-2.
It's so. It's. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's, you know, not that he went anywhere.
Right.
But for a while, we were like, eh.
Right.
It's all right. But now he's back with a vengeance. He's like, in case you fucking forgot.
Exactly.
You know?
That it motivates me.
Me too.
Like, for real, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm motivated. Every time I hear that, like.
It's a masterclass, that record. Yeah. It's just like, it's you know.
Yeah, just the fact that he may be rapping about the same things, but his worth ethic, like he just keeps going. Like
he has longevity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he does something that works for him. Like he keeps rapping on other people's beats and that just fire to me. You know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, you could, even on that record, you could tell he's like, let me take this little scheme and extend it as long as I could possibly go. And no one else, I'm going to dead this scheme after because no one could use it anymore.
Exactly.
You know? So Wayne, who else you listening to?
Wayne, Missy Elliott, Khalees, old Khalees, of course Pharrell, Timbaland, Aaliyah. I just saw a lot of like 90s music and early 2000s, like No Doubt.
Oh shit, sorry, that was an accident.
Are you
like Disclosure?
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Little Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like indie. I like all that stuff. Then, I got all the local people that I listen to, like Holt. You know Holt.
Yeah.
I like his music.
Yeah.
Drea.
Yeah, love Drea.
Vibe Diller. Smino. All the people. Yeah, I like them.
Yeah. And cool. So if folks, first of all, I mean, folks could hit you up and be like obviously you have the website. And what is the website?
The website is SheilaRashid.com.
Right. And people can go on there and holler at you about garments.
Yeah. You can like contact me, email me on the site directly. You can buy things directly from the site. And everything is made to order. So once you buy it, it goes into production after you purchase it, and it takes. And I give them a grace. I give them a time, like a deadline. Like, oh, it take maybe 10 to 12 days to finish. Maybe even less. Usually just everything is on the site. Pretty much get it on. Contact me. I have an about. All that's on there.
Right. In the future, is there going to be like a store?
Mm-hmm.
What is the future? So I mean, because you're going to drop these lines, you're going to have the website,
mm-hmm.
but where is all of this going? I guess
where it's going, it's wherever it takes me. I just keep. I don't really know exactly where it's going. I just know that I'm gonna keep doing it. I'm just gonna keep making clothes, and whatever opportunity comes, then that's whatever good opportunity comes with the right time, then I probably will maybe have a store. Yeah.
Like a line in a boutique in a department store.
Because
then that gets mass produced, I guess, if you go. Right. You know, yeah. Macy's is like trying to knock
like
on your door.
The essence of your.
It's really stepping over if I really want to do that.
Yeah.
Because I learned something too. Like, I wind up sending money. I wind up thinking I was going to work with this guy in California. And I pay him, like, I want to say $2,000, $3,000 so he can make jeans for me, like 100 pair of jeans. And it never worked out. And he didn't pay me back or anything. And it was horrible. I went to his crib, just talked to him, and he was nowhere to be found. But I think that something, I don't know, he was legit at first because I was recommended by someone, like a good friend of mine, to work with him. Yeah, but it just wasn't, I don't know if that was a sign or what, but I was just like, all right, I'm just doing it on my own.
Right.
And that's just what happened.
It's powerful. It's powerful what you're doing and that you are doing it on your own. And you know, with a lot of increasing eyes to maintain that sense of solidarity and to do the whole bit of it, you know, the business end, the photography end, the design, the making end, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing like 85 jobs at once.
You're not going to have a team. You're not going to... Even to do like your other stuff, like the, you know, business end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I have an intern who I have someone who wants an intern for me. So I'm open to things like that. But other than that, because I've had like people come by and help me out before. Mm-hmm. But I guess it'll happen when it happens if I want to like build a team. I do have like a videographer. As far as like the business side, it's just like an all-in-one thing for me right now. You know, it's like there's no middleman, just me and the customer. And what I learned from retail is customer service. So that's just like that's my main thing. That's just what I know is how to keep everything right. It's just provide great customer service for each person who wants to get anything made.
Well, it's beautiful. It's beautiful you're doing. The website is SheilaRashid.com. Where can people find you on the internets, on social?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram, Sheila the Designer. And then I'm on Twitter as I Make Clothes.
Facts.
No shit.
Facts. I haven't changed it since 2009.
Okay, you guys stick to the OG handle.
Yeah, and the gram is also a good place to see kind of what you're working on and
I'm pretty up to date on Instagram for sure and Twitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty active on both. Facebook is like the last to hear everything.
Is your nana on Facebook?
Yeah.
Hmm? Is your nana on Facebook?
I think she is.
Yeah.
And I'm named after my nana. He's my nana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my nana is on, and I'm named after her, too.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Sheila Jr.?
I am.
For real?
I know.
That's
cute.
Dope.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, salutes to her and salutes to you.
Thank you.
We're just watching, man. We're really excited. I mean, I think Tara and I might pull
jeans.
Up. I know. Yeah, I know.
Jeans.
Yeah, we might become clients very
pockets.
Soon.
I want 10 pockets. No, I'm just kidding. 52. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but for real, thank you so much for rocking with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
A pleasure.
Glad to be here.
Cool. Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Nelson for the logo and art.
Big up, WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.